Hi, welcome to the second episode of Two Friends with Nothing in Common. My name's Manuela, and I'm gonna tell a quick story about what Andrew and I don't have in common. So, I just found out today, actually, that Andrew doesn't like to eat cold pizza for breakfast. I think it's one of like the best breakfasts you can ever have, full of protein, some fruit, put some pineapple on there.
Something not
Would
right
you
with
eat it
that.
like warm pizza for breakfast?
Absolutely not.
Oh.
Yeah. Wait, what about you? Would you do both? Oh.
I'll eat pizza any time of the day.
Like, you can do breakfast for dinner, but not
No,
dinner
I
for
hate breakfast
breakfast.
for dinner.
See, this doesn't make any sense. What?
Love breakfast food, but I hate breakfast for dinner, but I'll definitely eat cold pizza
But
and
you'll
hot
have dinner
pizza
for
for
breakfast. You'll have dinner for
breakfast.
breakfast. Okay. All right, weekly recap. For
Tell
me,
me about your week.
my week was chill. So, I think it was like last Wednesday or something. I met up with a friend at the new Travelers on National. It was my first time
Travelers.
going there.
Best place ever.
And because I don't like to loiter, I buy the cheapest thing on the menu
What'd you
every time.
get?
Some sort of tea. And I'm kind of indifferent towards tea. I'm not a coffee person, but tea, like.
You should have gotten one of the scones.
But it was more expensive than the tea.
More worth it.
We'll save that next week. It's like something like sometimes scones are good, but sometimes at coffee shops they're just like stale because they've been sitting in the case all day.
No, not at
And
Traveler's House.
okay, I'll remember
Bro, oh
that.
my gosh, don't disrespect Traveler's House like that.
All right. Well, anyways, so I had tea because it was cheap, and then we went to.
Falling on a budget.
Are yeah, ball is that what you said? Balling on a budget.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Words to live by. But so then we went to Walmart and we looked for things that I could put in my cubicle to decorate it because I have a really it's not a cubicle, it's more like an office but without a door kind of thing. It's like I don't really know how to
So a
describe,
cubicle,
but it's like three like actual walls though, like
like all the way
plastic.
to the ceiling?
Yeah,
Oh, that's
yeah.
weird.
There's just no door. It's like an open space.
Interesting.
And the desk area is like huge. So I was looking for something to decorate it with. And basically, we spent the whole time making fun of like obscure themes I could have for my cubicle. And I didn't find anything that I could put in it.
Good,
Actually, no,
good.
I did get a tissue box.
Your job doesn't supply you tissue boxes?
No.
Wow.
I know. So.
Not saying my job's better.
Well.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, no. I was talking to the department secretary about it, and she was like, I was actually like in the supply area where they had like all the pens and folders and all this stuff. And I was like, so tissues? And she's like, nope. Like she acted like she's like, no.
She's like, you wish, boy.
Yeah. She's like, people steal my tissues all the time or something like that.
She's
Yeah.
like this new kid. SMH.
All right, so then on Friday we went to the Crew Fellowship Dinner, which is like Crew's annual fundraiser dinner. People like sit at tables and eat food, and I was gonna say fancy
Like you
food.
would at any dinner.
Yes, but yeah, I was gonna call it fancy food. Not that it wasn't fancy, but I guess
Whoa.
it. I'm digging myself a hole here. Anyways, it was a good time. It was quality. And then the next day it was like nice outside, so I got to walk around like Jordan Valley Park in downtown
Jordan
with a
Valley.
friend. That was cool. And then that evening I went to a concert, Dawson Hollow. They're like a folk band, indie rock kind of blend. They were playing at a place called Shuffle on Campbell, which I've never heard of before, but
Me neither.
it's actually there. It's not
There's a lot of
imaginary.
places you've never heard of.
That's very true.
Yeah. I only say true things.
I always say true things. Anyways, and then work has been really great. I started my new job with the city, and that's been a lot of fun. My coworkers are great, and the work is engaging, so that's good. And yesterday, my boss's boss, so my great grand boss,
Ah,
he.
ah.
I feel like that's what you would call it, so I'm just going to own it. He treated me to lunch.
I've never heard that in my life. Anyway, go on.
I'm going to coin that and make it a thing. But he treated me to lunch, and we went to a place called St. Michael's, which is downtown. It's like a sports bar and grill, which I never heard of, but it was good. I liked it. It's quality.
Nice, nice.
And that was my week.
That sounds amazing.
I'm glad. Usually you're like, that. I thought you were going to get rid of the boring stuff. Wait, were you being sarcastic?
I was.
No!
I was being very sarcastic.
No!
And I'm really glad we just got all of that.
I thought it was a pretty good week. I could have cheated and combined my last 3 weeks the highlights. You know
what? It was great. If you think your week's great, then your week is great.
All right, what was so good about your week? What was so good about your week?
Well, starting out, I got some exciting news today that my sister's having her baby.
Oh.
So that was really great news. She was due last Wednesday, and she's finally having the baby today, and I don't know the gender or the name because she decided to not tell us.
Like right now, this moment, she's having the baby?
Like this moment. Mm. Yeah, at like 3 o'clock.
So wait, when the baby's like 10 years old or something, you can be like, this podcast was recorded during your birth.
This podcast is dedicated to you. This is who I'm doing it for. But yeah, so anyway, super exciting. Happy birthday, my future niece or nephew. Number 18. Love you. Okay, anyway.
Just a number right
so,
now.
So, yeah. Pending. Still waiting on the name. So, yeah, the crew fellowship dinner was really fun. I really like it because it feels like a reunion because I see a lot of my old friends that were, like, involved with crew. And now that we're all graduated, they're, like, asking us back to give them money. which I don't mind. I love crew. Anyway, so then this past weekend, my friends and I had a Harry Potter marathon. And that was really fun. We spent the whole weekend watching Harry Potter because never too old for climbless, timeless films like that.
Keep on climbing. Just keep on climbing.
And then on Sunday, I went to my favorite Chinese restaurant called Pacific Kitchen here in Springfield. And I was sick the whole day afterward because their food's not the best. And I've always known that. But like, I just love Pacific Kitchen. And even though I was on my couch all day Sunday with a terrible stomach ache, that will not be my last time there. I'll tell you that right now.
Right.
And then I told my friend that I went there, and she was like, you need to stop going there. It's trash. And I was like, stop. I don't need that. But yeah, that was my week. See, I guess it wasn't that exciting either. But, you know, that's just how life is sometimes.
That's right.
Can't always
you know?
Be on a high.
Some weeks are super exhilarating, other weeks are chill.
That's nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, when you have a chill week that's not a bummer, you enjoy it.
I feel like you're just making fun of what I said earlier.
About what?
Never mind. All right, so moving on to our next segment. We have our friend Jacob here. He is going to talk to us about professional trading card games, also known as TCG. A little fun fact about Jacob is that every time I've invited him to something, he, like, hasn't shown up. So we were really nervous about if he was going to show up today, but he did. Or this could be a fake person just claiming to be Jacob.
What if I just, like, didn't talk and then they just thought I never showed up the whole time? Okay, yeah.
But we still like him, regardless of his attendance
at
things.
I'm glad I surpassed that. Okay, well, thanks for having me, first of all. This is going to be fun.
I'm having fun.
It's okay. Like, I don't usually get to talk to people about this, so it'll be kind of interesting to like explain it. I think that when most people think of like trading card games, I think the first thing they think of is Pokemon, which like I feel like even if you don't know like a lot about Pokemon, you know what Pokemon is. Like, can either of you tell me that you don't know what Pokemon is?
My favorite Pokemon is Diglett.
Diglett, I know, yeah. That's, like, side story, I have, a Pokemon on Pokemon Go named Manuela, and it's Diglett.
Yes.
So, yeah.
That's right, I forgot about that.
So I'm just gonna share some things, I guess, about what a trading card game really, like, it doesn't get this kind of advertisement. Like, people just think of a trading card game, and they think of, like, a kid's game. And it's definitely catered for kids for the most part. But it's one of, my first note here is that it's very skill intensive. It's like chess, but with cards. So, yeah, it's...
I taught you how to play chess.
No, William taught me how to play chess, but that's a different story.
I did teach you.
Anyways, the cards, like, if you think of... If you know how to play chess, or if you don't know how to play chess, I'm sorry, this doesn't really... It's not going to help you learn about cards. But if you know how to play chess, then you know that, like, every move is really important, and each piece is, like, has its own role. And it's the same with cards. There's lots of different cards that you play, and, like, specific decks, and there's lots of decks that play the same cards, and so each one does something different, and each one has like a certain like power cap. So if we're talking specifically about Pokemon as a TCG or trading card game, there's like lots of cards you can play in every deck, and there's certain cards you can only play in like one deck, which I'm not sure how much sense that makes, but if you just give me a second, I'll get to like the more I'm just going to keep going. If I get tripped up, I'll just like stutter forever. So like I said before, lots of people don't think about it as a anything but like a kid's game, but there actually are about like, I read an article, there's like 80% more like people that are 18 and above than there are actual kids that play these like 6+ card games. Like when you go to an event or anything, which I've been to several, there's usually like 3,500 plus people.
Wow.
So like you get a ton of people at these events, and that's like, if you go to one that's, they have ones hosted like outside of like bigger ones called national events, and those can like almost cap at like 10,000.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, no, it's like actually really wild. And the prize support, you can win like, I want to say the last Japanese Pokemon Nationals had like cars for like top 10. So like if you made it to the top 10 players, you got like a free car, and then like and then first place was like, I want to say it was upwards $25,000.
Wow.
So like, no, if you get good at Pokemon, like Pokemon's, if you're gonna like try any card game, you want to try Pokemon. No, my big game is Yu-Gi-Oh, which is a much lesser known game. And it's kind of lesser known for good reason, because the cards are much more expensive and much harder to come by. But in Yu-Gi-Oh! And in Pokemon, cards, like a single card that you have to play, like, let's say three of, can be like $200.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's like, and it's ridiculously awful, because if you know like what a pack of cards is, you like can go to Walmart and you can see them, they have like racks of them. You could buy like 50 of those and not pull that card. And, like, so you spent the $200 on 50 packs, so you can either, like, buy the card for $200, or you can risk spending less and pulling nothing. So it's definitely, like, there's a gambling aspect that's, like, it draws you in and kind of screws you over a lot of the time, so that sucks. But if you're willing to put the money in and you're just willing to, like, buy the single cards, it can be really fun. And you can always resell them. They usually hold price pretty well. It's fun. You get to travel a lot. I've been to two events that were, one was in Texas, and that was like a 3-day event, and then there was one in Chicago that was also a 3-day event, and like that's one of those ones where I said they get like the upwards of like 3,500 plus people, and so like they're crazy, like it's busy, there's all these really like older men just playing card games, so
amazing.
It is a spectacle to behold. It's kind of like, it's not as cringy as it sounds, but it's still a little bit cringy for sure.
Yeah.
But like I said before, the prize pool makes it kind of worth like trying to put in the effort for it. Because if you can win like thousands of dollars for playing a card game, it's like, there are worse ways to get your money.
That's not wrong.
Yeah. So the bad thing though about lots of the people being older is that sometimes there's like, we have a pretty good community where I go, like, of players, but you hear a lot of stories about, like, bad communities, so if you do want to pick up a card game, I suggest you do it with, like, a friend, and, like, just drag them into it with you, that way you have someone that you know is not going to be, like, horrible, because some people, like, when I say horrible, like, people, they'll see that you have, like, an expensive card, and you won't know that it's an expensive card, and they'll trade you, like, crap for it. They'll give you, they'll lie to you and be like, oh, this is really good, you gotta pick this up, buddy, and then they lied to you and you're like really sad because like, oh dang, well that'd have been nice to have. But usually if you're like in it with a friend, you guys can like figure it out together.
So do you have a friend that you do this with?
Yeah, Cage. Good. My friend Cage and I do card games together.
Fun.
Yeah, he's still trying to figure out how to not get screwed over when it comes to trading, but that's
can okay. see that.
So you're like the guy that looks out for
I try. I do what yeah. I can. Like, it's usually when we're at our local events, it's fine, but like I said, when you travel out there, you meet new people, and some of them yeah. are great, but some of them are kind of sleazy, so it's not the best, but it's really fun, especially if you only play at a local level. It's really fun because you're not, like, you don't have to put, like, the hundreds of dollars in it. You can just go buy, like, a pack of cards and then build a little deck and have fun. I wish I could, like, explain to you, like, rules and stuff, but that would take 7 podcasts alone just to, like, explain the individual rules.
Podcast series.
Yeah, oh, I'll get, like,
make your own podcast.
Separate series, just, like, yeah, I'll do it, for sure. That's close to about what I've got. I think something else I wanted to talk to you about was if you don't know anything about card games, but like lots of people play the like Pokemon video games or they watch the show or same with like Yu-Gi-Oh. Like I suggest you at least try to play the video games or you try to play the card game because like when you're playing the video game or you're watching the show, you're getting a lot of enjoyment out of it because there's a lot of fan service and you know, you get to like, you enjoy this, like, this show that you like to enjoy and watch. But if you're doing the card games, it's more fun, in my opinion, just because you're, like, putting yourselves in the shoes of, like, these other people that, like, actually get to do and enjoy this experience. And I just think that, even though it does cost a lot of money sometimes, it's more enjoyable for that. And then, I guess, for my final thought, this doesn't take as long as I thought it was going to explain everything. I just want to... It's not as lame as it seems, guys. It's not. I promise. Like, it's just... It's, it gets a bad rep. No, it really does get a bad... And Manuel's trying not to, like, let her laughing be heard. it isn't. It isn't as lame as it sounds. And it's a lot of fun. It's also not as easy as it sounds. So if you end up picking up a trading card game and you go to like one of your local stores.
Jacob with you.
Well, yeah, first of all, take me with you because we'll have fun. But second of all, if you get destroyed because some guy who's like 40 years old has like a deck full of $100 cards and you lose, like don't be disheartened. It's still fun. You can still find like a good time and have like fun doing it. It's like that's all I got to say about the TCG, you guys, trading card game. I'm gonna pass it back to you guys if that's all right.
I have some questions.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so for Pokemon, was the show and the like physical card game released at the same time, or did one come a little bit
for
earlier
Pokemon?
On?
The video games actually came first. Before there was the show, before there was the card game, they released like Pokemon Fire Red and Pokemon. No, it was just Pokemon Red and Pokemon Green. I think were the two that came first, and the show like it was so popular they got a show and then the card game. And an interesting thing about, like, the Pokemon cards is they have this thing called a shadowless card. So, like, every one of the original Pokemon cards had a first ed, which means it was, like, the first printing. And it had, like, an unlimited printing, which means it came out later. So there was these, we call them misprints, which means it wasn't supposed to be shipped out like this. Like, there was an error when they were printing the card. Uh-huh. So we call these shadowless cards, and they're not usable in, like, the meta today, but if you have one, they can, like, certain ones range between, like, $2,500 and, like, $3,000, depending on what you have. So if you have really old Pokemon cards, that's another thing. I suggest you look into, like, getting them priced, because they're worth way more than you might think they are. Seriously, like, little kids, you give them to your little kids, and they'll just tote them around school, and that's great, but, like, just go ahead and do a price check one of these days. If you see a really shiny Pokemon card in your kid's hand,
you just give your kid $1.
Yeah, and then,
and
you know,
they can tote
it's
that
no,
around
then you're being
instead.
Like that guy that just like just completely screws you over. But yeah, it's fine, right? As long as we're getting what we want. Yeah.
Has the design of the cards changed?
Yeah, a lot actually. The size really hasn't.
Okay.
But it's gone from like usually there's like a little probably like I want to say like 3-inch by 3-inch photo on like. Like a 6-inch by 4-inch card, and that, like that, there'd be a little photo, and then there'd be a description of what it does. And nowadays, in Pokemon at least, like the whole card is a photo, and it's got like texture.
Hmm.
It's got
Does that make you play better?
No, it honestly farms it's only it's literally only rarity. It's prettier and therefore more expensive.
Yeah, that but makes like, sense.
When there's other cards that do the exact same thing for cheaper, people will still buy the more expensive one because they want their cards to be prettier. That's about the only thing in Pokemon that's changed. Yeah. You gotta flex. It's all about the flex.
Exactly. Absolutely. I have money. I bought this.
Yeah. You don't have to be good. You just have to have pretty stuff.
True.
That's what it's about.
That's what life is about. Yeah, just kidding. It's kind of sad. Just kidding. That's not what life is about.
Okay. I just got Pokemon. So, jumping back to the video games, those were N64, or what were...
Those were, like... old school Game Boy, like not the advanced or the color, even the big brick.
Okay,
I can't remember what it's just like the original Game Boy. Hmm. Yeah, that's what those were for.
I had a Game Boy.
I had a Game Boy Advance.
I had the advanced.
Too. I had a color Game Boy Advanced color. I had the one that like
flipped you're right. It up. Is all about.
The oh yeah, that's the, yeah. Yeah.
It's the one that flipped up, and then someone gave me one of the like rectangle ones that like had the little keys on the side.
It's the one before that. Like it's like this
yeah, big. I didn't go that far back.
Oh, okay.
It's about the flex, guys.
Wait, so you had the flip one first, and then someone gave you an older version?
Yeah,
and
downgrade.
Well, I still have the flip one.
Oh, okay.
I had both. I had two Game Boys, and wow. I took both of them on the bus with me, because I was like, it's about the flex. Yeah, like, I have two Game Boys, guys. I'm cool.
Oh, my God. Oh, my goodness.
And I just played, like, Donkey Kong. And like
on the bus to school?
Yeah.
How long of a commute was this?
Oh, well, I lived in the country, so my bus ride was like an hour long.
Wow, what?
What?
Yeah, it was like, they would pick me up, and then they would go like all around like the outskirts of town, and then like drop us off. Mm. So it was like, I would get on the bus at 6:50 and get home, or get to school at like 7:45.
That's awful.
So I had a long time on the bus to...
Lots of memories with Donkey Kong.
Play on the Game Boys. And everyone else would bring their Game Boys, and like we'd play each other's games.
It's like community.
Yeah.
About.
Yeah. See? Yeah. We're gamers. Just, I am not a gamer. I will never.
We're both back common immediately.
I will never consider myself a gamer.
It's too late. You know, you already put it out there.
I'm sorry.
Oh, man. Do you have questions before I ask more?
No, ask more.
Okay, so Yu-Gi-Oh! Was it kind of similar, like their video games first, and then
With the TV Yu-Gi-Oh! Show, or... I believe the TV show was first for Yu-Gi-Oh! I think it went TV show, then card game.
Okay.
Don't quote me on that, because Yu-Gi-Oh! Is much, like, not shadier. Just like, it's not as cookie cutter. What I think they came out very close to the same time is why I don't know for sure which one. Okay. I just know it's not as old as Pokemon, and like definitely not as popular. Like not everyone knows about Yu-Gi-Oh, but everyone knows about Pokemon.
Okay.
For like the most part.
And what would you say is the primary difference between the two
games? As far as the card game goes, Yu-Gi-Oh is a lot like more fast paced. There's lots of interactions between the two players, like, so there's turns in a card game, and in Yu-Gi-Oh! You have stuff that you can use on your opponent's turn, but in Pokemon, you're usually only doing stuff on your turn. So, like, if it's your opponent's turn, you're not doing anything, you're letting them do whatever they want, and in Yu-Gi-Oh! If it's your opponent's turn, you can have what, like, they're called card effects that will affect your opponent or, like, their cards and stuff like that, and Pokemon's a lot simpler. Like, Yu-Gi-Oh! Is a lot more intricate.
Gotcha.
So if you had to pick a card game to get into, would you do Pokemon or Yu-Gi-Oh?
Andrew? You're asking me?
Andrew, yeah.
Are you asking this because you know what I'm going to say?
No.
Oh, okay.
I just want to know.
I would prefer Pokemon, I think, because I like to absorb everything and, like, you know, like, do things only in a set amount of time, not, like, constantly have to be...
Yeah, it's much simpler, and, like, if you're going to start a card game, Pokemon's the one to go for sure. And if you want to get something more advanced, then you can move up the ladder to, like, Magic or Yu-Gi-Oh!, but Pokemon's a good starter. It's very simple.
Gotcha. What about you? What would you...
Oh, Pokemon for sure. I like simple things, and I'd probably just, like, see if I could get, like, the best Diglett card.
Oh, yeah.
And then I would just, like, frame it, and then I'd quit. Like,
so you're talking about the games, not the Diglett.
Early retirement.
Yeah.
Nice. Just trying to get that. He's just so cute. Little mound of dirt. Like...
Little mound of dirt. I wanted to ask you, what's the admission for these tournaments? Because you said, like, some of the national ones, like, the prize as a car.
Oh, yeah.
So what?
Usually, like a buy-in, like how much it costs to like play.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's something for like a national. There's events called regionals. Before those, you have to get like, I think top 16 out of however many people show up to get your invite to go to nationals.
Okay.
And then it's usually like a $20 buy-in. Like, to play, yeah, I know, as long as you qualify, and then you're playing for these, like, insane prizes, but, like, I guess, if you're not from the area, you have to factor in, like, a flight or like, travel costs and stuff, but if you have, like, the skill and you think you can, like, win, then it's worth it, because you're going to be making, like, triple what you actually, like, it cost you to come up there and do that, so, but, like, as far as the actual tournament goes, you have to top a regional, and the buy-ins are, like, usually $20. Which is, it's great, because you usually get like, stuff immediately for buying in, like, packs or, like, promotional items. So you're going to make your money back, pretty much, when you do an event. But then you also have to spend, like, $400 to build a deck. So that's where it really hits you, is that pricey bit right there, for sure.
Do you ever just go for fun to meet friends?
Winning is fun, my mom
was. Oh, okay, yeah, you're right.
No. It's fun to win. So, like, yeah. I do have fun when I go. Yeah.
Have you made any new friends from there, like, that you keep in contact with? Like, that's my new friend I met.
Yeah. Well, anyway, yes. I did. I mean, I've met, like, 3 or 4 friends through, like, I mean, I know a lot of new people from playing it, but people I actually consider friends, yeah.
Oh, cool.
We hang out a lot. Like, I wouldn't like name names, but you would have no idea who these people are.
I mean, I wasn't asking for that.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sorry.
Just asking if
give their names and their address. Yeah.
I'm gonna go take their cards.
That's not something you joke about.
I'm sorry. Any more questions?
I don't think I have any more.
All right. If you could tell the world one thing about trading card games, what would it be?
Definitely, just like that. If it's scary, or if you think that like. You won't enjoy it. I just suggest that you go for it if you like strategy-esque like card games at all. Just because it's fun, it gives your like mind something to go on about, and you can meet new people that like you'll actually really enjoy hanging out with. So that's my one thing.
Nice. I actually have one more question that I just thought of. No, I'm sorry. But my question was, do you like, with the strategy, does it like drive you crazy? Are you like... always trying to think of, like, how you can win the next match? Are you like, oh, I should have done that instead?
It doesn't drive you crazy, but if you lose and you end up thinking of a strategy that would have won...
Oh, okay.
That can make you pretty mad. But, okay. Like, only until you get to apply it and then win, and then you feel a lot better.
Okay,
so it's kind of one of those types of things.
That's how I would be. Like, last night, something happened. Like, I didn't do something at work, and I was thinking about it all night. I was like, oh my gosh, I forgot to do that, like... And then I was going to work, and I was like, I have to do that. Like, I don't know.
It's so kind of like that. Thinking, it is kind of like that.
Okay. Interesting. All right. Well, thanks for being on the show, Jacob. Yes,
thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure. Moving on to our next segment. We are doing our country segment, where we learn a country in 3 minutes.
Yes.
And we're just going to list off facts about this country, and you're going to...
try and guess
take
what
a guess.
It is. Yes.
Take a guess. Let me start the timer.
Okay. I don't think this is going to last for 3 minutes.
That's all right. They won't know. I shouldn't have said that. All right. Go.
The first one has the name of the country in it. I'm glad I didn't say that.
Redact.
The first torpedo and parachute... I can't read my handwriting. Came from here.
All right. This country's GDP per PPP in 2017 is $102.1
billion. 88% of the country is Catholic, 4% Orthodox, and 1% Muslim.
All right. Game of Thrones was filmed on one of these beaches.
They are a parliamentary multi-party republic.
They have 8 national parks, 11 nature parks, and 2 nature reserves.
The first fountain pen was invented here, and it was called the Penka.
Interesting.
Yes.
They have been known to have the world's most beautiful sunset.
Nikola Tesla was born here.
That was my last fact. Oh, but I do have a a flag description. It's red, white, and blue horizontal stripes, and it has the coat of arms in the middle of it. And the coat of arms is, like, ancient things to represent this country.
Nice. So, and lastly, I'm gonna out the country, I guess. The three colors also represent Dalmatia, Slavonia, and the Kingdom of Croatia. The country is Croatia.
What?
So my first fact that I
never would have guessed.
Yeah, that I did not say was the origin of the name Croatia is uncertain.
That was a good fact. Oh, I forgot to name a fact where apparently they have 2,715 hours of sunshine. But I don't really understand how that was calculated because I don't know how many hours are in a year, but I feel like there's more than 2,000. So I don't know why that's, like, a good fact.
So, what would we say also, the average for the United States is? Like,
I don't know, but I tried to do, like, am I doing this wrong? I did, like, 24 hours times 365 days, and that's only 8,000 hours. Is that right?
Well, and then you divide it by two or whatever, like, how much you think daylight.
So 4,000. So that's, like basically a third of their hours are sunlight, which might be more than... I don't know. I don't know if that's, like, an exciting, like, fact or not, but if you want sunshine, comparisons. Go to Croatia. Meet me there.
Good vacation I spot, guess. Apparently.
Yeah. Mm. Look at that. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Wait, did you skip ahead?
Next segment! No, I didn't!
Okay.
It was really 3 minutes.
It worked out. Alright.
Alright, on to pop culture. Sorry, go on, Andrew.
Do you want to go first?
You can go first.
Are you sure? Because I usually go first, I think.
It's not a problem.
It's not a designated Andrew goes first this segment. I think it's a take turn, but I kind of...
Do you want to go first? Go ahead.
Okay, I'll go first.
Okay.
So... I did mine on the TV show The 13 Ghosts of Scooby-Doo.
Wait, me too. No, I'm just kidding.
I believed you for a split second. Oh my goodness. Anyways, so it's the seventh incarnation of all the Scooby-Doo TV series, and this show was on from September through December of 1985, and still laughing, okay.
I just cracked myself up, I'm sorry.
You're the funniest person you know. to quote a friend. But, so the premise of this show, it's Velma and Fred are off somewhere. There's no explanation as to where they are. But it's Shaggy, Scooby, and Daphne, along with some friends that I'll get to in a minute. And there's this chest that in the first episode, Shaggy and Scooby accidentally open. And it's called the Chest of Demons. And it has these 13 ghosts that are apparently, like, the most horrible ghosts in the world. And they let them out, and they, like, escape to all their respective corners of the world. And then they find out that because they're the ones that let the ghosts out, they're the only ones that can capture them and get them back in the chest. So the whole series is them going around the world and recapturing these ghosts. The other people with them in this TV series are Scrappy, Scooby's nephew, who is super aggressive, and if anyone's vaguely familiar with the Scooby-Doo franchise, you probably have heard of Scrappy. Then there's
he's kind of weird.
Yeah, he's kind of like the what do you say? The, like, weird chapter in the history of the show that no one, like, goes back to because it was, like, a dark time or something. I don't know.
The dark times.
Yeah, it was the dark times.
The dark times of Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
Feel free to listen to Andrew's next spinoff podcast.
Yes, the dark times.
The dark times of Scooby-Doo.
Or just Scooby-Doo in general. True. But the other two characters are Vincent Van Gogh, who is voiced by Vincent Price, who was, like, a famous actor. And like
for Vincent Van Gogh?
No, like, the actor's name was Vincent Price. And
no,
he
but
was,
I mean, like, was Vincent Van Gogh trying to, like, impersonate Vincent Van Gogh?
No, Vincent Van Gogh was based off Vincent Price.
Well, that's kind of weird. I'm not saying that they're wrong, but, like...
Vincent Price was a famous actor who was in, like, horror movies and stuff like
and
that.
Don't call him Vincent Van Gogh. But anyway, they're trying to make him creepy.
Anyways, he looked like Vincent Price, and he. Yeah. Anyways, so and he was like their guide on the trip, basically like explaining like you let the ghosts out of the chest, so you have to capture them. And then the other character is named Flim Flam, who is like a 10-year-old.
Flim Flam.
Yeah, he wears a tracksuit, and he's like 10.
Same.
And I don't know why. Why Hanna-Barbera decided to have a 10-year-old be a part of this group, but, you know. Anyways, so...
Inclusiveness.
Yes, they're not ageist. They're not ageist. So they added a man that was in his late 50s and a 10-year-old to this teenage group.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I know.
That's an interesting conclusion. Very,
All are welcome.
Insightful, yes.
To show for every age.
Yes. And so then... And this show was had more of a different tone than the other Scooby-Doo cartoons before it. It was darker in the sense that the ghosts were real and that they refer to demons, or really just when they're referring to the chest, but like they say demons and stuff like that on the show, which in a normal Scooby-Doo show I feel like doesn't happen. So it's like it feels darker. But then also it's kind of more cartoony at the same time, like a lot more gags. Whereas in the original series, it's like everyone's very serious and it's kind of like real life because, you know, the ghosts are people in costumes and Fred, Daphne, and Velma are like, you know, like walking in the house and like Fred creates traps that even though they're ridiculous, like they're somewhat realistic. But in this, like all the characters like Daphne and Vincent Van Gogh and all of them, like they'll like do a gag all of a sudden, like all of a sudden they're all wearing costumes and doing weird things. Like to distract the ghost. Or also, this show has sing-alongs in it. I've only seen 5 episodes, but 2 of the 5 have had sing-alongs.
I mean, everything's a sing-along if you.
Like, it has words at the bottom of the screen and it has like a little bouncing dot. Like, why would you do that?
Just add some. It's infuriating. More fun.
It's awful.
We're just here for a good time, Andrew. Good time, not a long time.
Scooby-Doo is such a great thing, and then you like do something like that.
So we make it better. Musicals are the future.
Very troubling. But this is probably the worst Scooby-Doo TV series I've ever seen.
Riff.
I'm going to be honest, because I love... Actually, no, I take that back. Shaggy and Scooby-Doo Get a Clue is the absolute worst. But this is the second... It's borderline.
Okay.
I won't be as overly critical as Shaggy and Scooby-Doo Get a Clue, but it's borderline. But, yeah, it's good. Vincent Van Gogh has some snarky one-liners, which are enjoyable. And what's getting me through this is they recently released a movie called The 13th Ghost of Scooby-Doo, which...
like, is it a cartoon or real people?
Cartoon. Everything Scooby-Doo is cartoon, with the exception of the two live-action movies at the beginning of 2000 and 2001. And then there are two... TV films best that were live films. Action, mm-hmm. They are awful.
Yep,
all the live action ones are awful.
They're so great.
The two TV films were in like the mid to late 2000s and 2010s. Oh no, it was probably like 2010-ish. Anyways.
It was almost 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Fun fact.
That's crazy. But anyway, so there's a cartoon movie that was just released. And it finishes the TV series, basically, because when the series ended, there was still one ghost that they didn't capture. But it wasn't addressed.
What a cliffhanger.
Yeah. That's good. 1985. Good job, since 1985.
Good job, Scooby-Doo.
1985.
You got a clue. No. Okay.
Yeah. No. Well, okay. Yes. Anyways. 1985 to 2019. Finally wrapping it up. Wow. Good for them.
So, like, will Scooby-Doo be over forever, then?
No, just that storyline for that franchise, or that incarnation.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Let's be real here.
Yes. Positive thinking.
But, unfortunately, Vincent Price has died since then, so they have a... Vincent Price doesn't get to voice his namesake.
That's what happens when you wait, like, 30 years.
His namesake doesn't get to be voiced by him, so... What was that?
So how would you rate this? On a scale from A to B.
Eight point five.
You know, on the letter system.
Yeah, the letter system. I would the fact that Scooby-Doo helps it. Mm-hmm. So I would give it a mid-C. I give it a C.
Wow.
Solid C. Maybe a C+.
Not bad.
C+. Because it was a creative new direction.
C for creative.
Yeah, with, you know, you got the...
With some plus.
They, Hanna-Barbera revealed that they were not ageist. They updated...
I just revealed that. Oh,
okay, yes. Manuel interpreted the cryptic, semi-not-clear motive.
I knew I can.
But they updated the wardrobe of all the characters. Shaggy was wearing jeans.
Whoa.
Yeah, crazy.
Whoa, Shaggy.
Daphne had feathered hair.
Wow.
So that was very 80s.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, crazy stuff.
That's kind of funny.
Yeah. Fun times. So it's C+. Or B-.
Just
that. All right, you go. Go for it.
He's about to get to A, guys. Let's see how long it takes. All right, I did my pop culture this week on the show The Umbrella Academy on Netflix. I watched the first episode maybe last night, Monday night, doesn't matter. I watched the first episode because I was like, oh, I need to do something. And it was really good. Have you seen it? Have you heard of it?
I saw it. It's the first thing that pops up on my Netflix.
Yeah,
but I
me too.
Yeah.
It was actually really good. I was, like, more into it than I thought.
Okay.
And I learned a really big spoiler, so that was kind of a bummer, but I'll just keep going.
Is it a Marvel?
It's an adaptation of a comic book series.
Okay.
That's all I know. But yeah, so it's talking about how, like, on this one day in history, there are, like, 43 children born from mothers that didn't even know they were pregnant, and, like, this guy was like, I must have them all. And he, like, got 7 of them. And so he, like, raised them, like, as his own children. Except he was, like, so, like, creepy because he would only call them by their numbers. He was like, number 7, number 6, like, whatever. And he had, like, this
weird,
like...
Wait, did he steal them? Or
well, he paid the moms for them. And, you know, you can do anything when you have money. And so, yeah, so then they have, like, this weird monkey servant that's, like... It, like, talks like a human. And anyway, it's really weird. It's starring Ellen Page. I really like her. Huh. Yeah, she's, like, supposedly the one that, like, doesn't have superpowers. I say supposedly because I learned something about her that I shouldn't have. But it's okay. And I just gave it away to everybody.
Spoilers.
But you know what? If I ruined it for myself, then you all are going to get it ruined.
That's what happens in those shows, though. They're like, I'm the only one that doesn't have powers.
Yeah.
Why is that?
And I was, like, looking up the other powers to make sure, like, I got them right. And then it, like, mentioned her and was like, actually. And I was like, what? I was like, dang. Okay, but anyway, so there's, like... Other ones where one has, like, super strength, and he's, like, kind of uncomfortably, like, ripped. Because he, like, he's huge. I'm like, I don't really like the way you look. Like, you're kind of freaking me out. But then there's one that has, like, curved trajectory, which he can, like, bend things or something. I don't really know how that works.
Oh.
One who can manipulate reality. She says, like, I heard a rumor, and then she, like, follows up with what, like, she wants to happen, and then, like, they do it, which is, like, really crazy. And then one can communicate with the dead. One can jump through space and time. One can, like, possess monsters, but he's the dead one, I think. Which also might be a spoiler. No, because in the first episode, they talk about how he died. So, watch it. but yeah, basically they're all like living their own lives and then their father dies and so they all come back together to like have a funeral and it's like so weird. It's so weird. And then one of them's like, I think this was a setup. So he's like now on a mission to see like what really happened to his dad. And then one, one that, like, came from the future. He, like, can travel through space and time. So he, like, came back from the future and gave some disturbing news. So it was actually pretty good. And I'll probably continue watching it. And I would probably rate it, like, a B.
Nice.
I feel like an A is too generous for only have watched one episode. But I think a B is good because it had a really strong intro and I was definitely captivated. And the mom's super creepy. She's like, she seems like she's like a robot or something. I don't know. Cool. I don't know what it is yet. But maybe it's best I don't know because then I'll just tell everybody. And I'll just let everyone figure it out on their own. But yeah, it's a good show. I like Ellen Page. There's like this dance scene in like the first season, in the first episode, and she's like so awkward and like she's so awkward at dancing, but like I love her. She's in Juno, if you don't know who we're talking about. But and she's in other things. But she's really great. She's fun. So yeah, that's what I that's it. That's all I got.
Nice quality
for pop culture.
Are we on to the fun fact? Is that
our last segment? Take us home.
Okay. Into the bag we go.
This is Andrew's fun fact. What was it? Fun facts with Andrew?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. The first pianist to perform a recital on television, Earl Wilde, was also the first pianist to stream a performance on the internet 60 years later.
Good job.
I think that's interesting.
That is.
Okay, well, there you have it. That's that. Two Friends with Nothing in Common is produced by Manuel Lenz and Andrew Meeke. Special thanks to this week's guest, Jacob Golden. Two Friends with Nothing in Common is recorded in the Ozarks.